This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You are listening to the Arash Markazi Show on a new generation of radio, the all-new and mightier 1090 AM.
Good afternoon on a beautiful Monday, and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the mightier 1090 in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. I'm joined, as always, by producers G. Hay Wiley and Armani Buckets. How are we doing on this Monday?
You know, I want to say that this Monday is better than most Mondays, but it's not. It's a crappy Monday for, I guess, mainly for Chargers fans, right? Not really for Lakers fans, Clipper fans, and or Rams fans, but mainly for Chargers fans. I guess maybe they should be used to this by now. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I was expecting the Chargers to pull off that comeback when Herbert led them down the field multiple times late in the game. I was actually surprised that they didn't pull that off. What a heartbreaking way to lose.
Yeah, I mean, that is the big takeaway for the games on Sunday. And you knew it would come down to the Chargers and the Raiders in Las Vegas. Sunday Night Football, the last game of the regular season. It's a game that the Chargers had to have. It was a game that they had to win to go into the playoffs. In fact, a tie would have gotten them into the playoffs. And it looked like at the end of that game, you're looking at it tied 32-32. In overtime, it looked like the Raiders were content to perhaps kill the clock. They both go into the playoffs. You know, not an ideal situation. But listen, they played a full 60 minutes in regulation. They played the majority of the game in overtime. But Brandon Staley, again, he's made a lot of mistakes during his time, his first year head coach. And he gets blamed a lot for going for it on fourth down. To be, you know, he's a aggressive play caller. He'll go for it on fourth and five. He'll go for it on fourth down on his side of the field. But that made no sense. It made no sense. 38 seconds left on the clock. There was it didn't look like the Raiders were trying to, you know, rush, a play in. They knew that with a tie, they were going to go into the postseason. And for whatever reason, Brandon Staley called a timeout. And the Raiders said postgame, that changed the thought process there. Let's get the first down. Let's kick a game-winning field goal. And let's eliminate the Chargers. And that's exactly what happened. And so today, on a Monday, I think a lot of the talk is not only are the Chargers not going to go into the playoffs, they've lost three of their last four games. And again, if they had just won one of those games, you know, if they had just beaten Houston and they were a two-touchdown favorite in that game, they would be in the postseason right now. But I couldn't believe as I'm watching that late in the game, Brandon Staley calling that timeout. And so, you know, it is what it is. It's unfortunate, right, though, that Justin Herbert's not going to be in the playoffs. I mean, this is one of the most talented teams in the league. This was a team that I think a lot of people thought at the beginning of the season. Sure, there's a lot of talk about the Rams playing a home game in the Super Bowl, but what about the Chargers? And so, unfortunate for the Chargers, not only are they not going to make it to the Super Bowl, obviously, they're not even going to be in the postseason.
It's incredible because the Justin Herbert comeback was honestly one of the top moments that I can remember seeing from a Chargers standpoint in a long time. That is the heartbreaking part of all this, is that Herbert leads them down the field not once, but twice, down by 15, and then to lose in that fashion. And when all you needed was a tie, that's the type of loss that if you're in the locker room, I think that loss could carry over into the next season. Brandon Staley might not be able to recover from that.
Yeah. And on top of it, do you know how much money Vegas would have lost?
Yeah, I heard about
if it
that.
If ended in a tie, it would have been millions of dollars that they would have had to pay out on a push. So, like, how, like, There was nothing. There was everybody's situation would have been behooved if Brandon Staley just did not call that timeout. Everybody across the board, with the exception of obviously Pittsburgh. I'm sure Pittsburgh Steelers fans are just celebrating, you know, like there's no tomorrow today. So, but yeah, Brandon Staley, man, this is gonna be a long off season for you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, when you have a team this talented, you don't need to be that aggressive. You don't need to think things out too much. I mean, sometimes the smartest play for a head coach with a team this good or this talented is just to get out of the way, get out of their way. And I think as we go in to the offseason, I mean, he's going to have to think long and hard about, you know, his thought process while he goes into, and I know he wants to be against the grain, and I know what he wants to do things his own way. But that being said, this team is way too talented not to be in the playoffs. It was an exciting game. They came back and put themselves in a position to win, but you know, poor clock management, play calling, and that timeout just made no sense. That was one of two big Sunday games that everyone in Los Angeles was focused on. The other one, Rams and the 49ers. The 49ers have beaten the Rams the past five times that they played each other. Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay's number. The thing that the Rams wanted to do here, obviously win, because if you win the division, you get the number two seed, which means you stay home for as long as you possibly can. But just for the confidence of this team, you know, when you talk about being a Super Bowl contender, you don't want to be, you know, have a team that's beaten you six consecutive times, three straight years that they've swept you. So this was a big thing from a confidence point of view. And for the Rams, they couldn't have lost in a worst way. You know, you go up 17-0. You're up by a touchdown with less than 30 seconds left in the game. And then they lose the game on a Matthew Stafford pick. Again, I'm not going to put the game on him. You know, there was a lot of things that went wrong with that game on Sunday. But if you're the Rams and you have aspirations to win the Super Bowl, certainly go to the Super Bowl at SoFi. They did win the division, right? You know, the Cardinals once again, you know, could not get it done at home. This is why I'm more concerned about this wild card game Monday at SoFi, because the Cardinals, for whatever reason, are an amazing road team. They've only lost one game on the road all year. For whatever reason, they can't play at home. So we'll see how this game plays out on Monday. But guys, going back to that game on Sunday, the Rams needed this. I mean, they really needed it, not just for the seeding and the division and things like that, but for the confidence, you know, the confidence for them, but also the confidence of people who are watching them, their fans. I mean, when I look at the Rams now, I think that they're a very good team. In my mind, they are no longer a Super Bowl contending team.
It's one of those things where we always hear the saying, you want to be peaking at the right time. And the Rams are doing the exact opposite of that. So yesterday, football starts on the West Coast at 10 a.m. It ends, obviously, as always, at 9 p.m. I'm thinking they're up by 17. This is a time that I can relax and recuperate my energy for the nightcap. And, you know, I look back an hour later and they're tied. And I am thinking to myself, what the heck happened here? And it's one of those things where, again, they can't seem to figure out the Niners. And this is a problem because that lack of confidence, when you have that against anybody, it shows vulnerability. And they looked very, very vulnerable. And that's not how you obviously want to look heading into the postseason. It's not a good sign.
No, and G.A., we talked about this, that obviously Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. But they traded two first-round picks and a third-round pick, including Goff, to get Matthew Stafford. And they did that why? They did that to be in position to win a Super Bowl. We got to remember, like, we can dump on Goff all we want. He was the quarterback of that team when they got to the Super Bowl. But now with Matthew Stafford, I don't have that confidence. You know, he's had multiple games, four, where he's thrown a pick six, multiple games where he's had at least three turnovers. You cannot do that in the postseason, and that's why I'm a little worried about the Rams right now with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they just turn it around after this. And to Armand's point, momentum. I'm a huge, huge proponent of momentum, and the Rams don't have that right now. Right. After Stafford's throwing multiple picks and then you end the game on a turnover like that. I mean, you can't be a Super Bowl contending winner and throw interceptions like that. That being said, he is better than Goff.
So let's
take these baby steps and just hope that they make adjustments. And let's hope that they run the ball. Did we not say this?
Yeah.
We said this, I think, 2 weeks ago or even maybe a week ago. That they need to start running the ball more. They need to start having more, like, get Henderson involved, get the running game more involved so you shake things up. It's not fair to this team who's worked so hard to get Kupp open, who worked so hard to get OBJ. Shake things up on the offensive end.
Yeah.
You know, the defense is working their patooties off, man. Like, they are working their butts off, and it's not really fair that then all of a sudden maybe like somebody doesn't run the route, or maybe he overthrows, maybe he underthrows. These play calls are just baffling to me. So they need to mix things up. They need to start running the ball a lot more than they're doing right now, in my personal opinion. And I really hope they do that against Arizona on Monday.
100%. I mean, they have to run the ball. I mean, if they're going to win in the postseason, I mean, if they're going to have a long run, if they're going to have a shot at getting to the Super Bowl, defense has got to play well, and they got to run the ball. I mean, that's what people have talked about for years with football. You got to run the ball, play defense if you hope to advance. We are at the midway point of the NBA season. The Lakers are 21-20. The Clippers are 20-21. They're both about 500. The Lakers, however, you know, they had a nice four-game winning streak going. That got snapped by the Memphis Grizzlies. In fact, the Lakers have only lost twice since Christmas. Both of the losses have been to Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. And we keep talking about how the high watermark of this team, if they perhaps turn things around, they can maybe get to the fifth seed. And if they get to the fifth seed, you're in the first round. You're going up against the Grizzlies. And the hope there is, you know, the Grizzlies are a young team. But man, the Memphis Grizzlies have beaten the Lakers the last three times that they played. And as I touched on it, they've just beaten them twice since Christmas Day. Armani Buckets, my hope is that the Lakers could find a way into that 4-5 matchup and maybe play the Grizzlies. If they do, I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs for that long. I mean, the Grizzlies certainly have shown that they are the superior team. Despite LeBron James playing as well as he has, it's not enough to beat this team.
Last night's game was obviously not, you know, the way that the Lakers envisioned that game to go. With that being said, when LeBron James is playing at this level, which now it's not a small sample size anymore, it's been like 12 or 13 games in a row where he's playing as if he's the best player on planet Earth. And you can make the debate for KD, you can make the debate for Giannis, but when LeBron is playing like this, when any player is playing at this high of a level, I have a hard time to not take their whole team kind of seriously. And this is all happening without Anthony Davis. Now, I really thought that they put on their best performance of the entire season against Atlanta. Atlanta, to me, is a solid team, but then they go get smacked by the Clippers,
yeah.
And then it makes that Atlanta win look a lot less meaningful. So now, after you lose to Memphis, and not only do you lose, you got embarrassed, it's really hard for me to gauge where the Lakers are at. But the one thing that's for certain is that LeBron can't do it by himself, and he needs, you know what, I'm not even going to say he needs Russell Westbrook, because I'm at the point where I don't think Russell Westbrook, you can't count on him to contribute anything. I really believe that. He needs Malik Monk to be consistent. That's what LeBron really needs for the Lakers to keep a consistent winning streak going. He needs Monk.
Yeah, I think that he needs a lot of those role players on the bottom of the bench to just step up, right? Because you can't depend on Russell. You just can't. It's just, I said this from the jump. I'm just going to point that out there. That I've said this from the beginning, that I thought that it was not a good idea to take on that hefty contract in Russell Westbrook. But the Lakers and LeBron made their bed. They got a lie in it now. You got to have those other kids step up, have them have them help out your cause, because it's just, it's not fair to LeBron, who's working his patootie off without AD. You know, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I'm hoping that this is their wake up call to be like, look, like our leader. This is why Memphis Grizzlies are so great, though, and so good, is because they have a leader in Ja Morant that's like, look, even if I'm not on the court, you still got to play like me. You still got to step up your game. You still have to play to win this game every single day. The Lakers aren't doing that, right? Yeah. I don't know if it's like a, if it's a LeBron leadership issue. I don't think that that's the case. I just think that maybe some of these guys are just like, well, this is the culture that I came in here with, you know, of like not playing to the height or anything like that. So yeah, the role players need to step up. I mean, this happened with Kobe, right? Yeah. I believe when he was, when he got that last elusive championship, it was mainly role players. It was like, it was him and then a bunch of role players and guys that knew their job and were able to step up and help him out. So that needs to happen with LeBron right now, because he doesn't have KD and because Russell Westbrook, let's get real, Das Vidanya. So yeah, I mean, unless something drastic happens, I think that like those role players need to step up.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the big takeaway when I'm watching the game late last night, is that LeBron is playing like the best player in the world, which effectively gives them a chance. You know, when you're talking about having the best player or a guy who's in the top five, you certainly have a chance to win. You certainly have a chance to contend. But I'm having flashbacks to when Kobe literally put the Lakers on his back when they had Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and that team. And I mean, every night, I mean, he willed that team and they found a way to become a playoff team. But he tore his Achilles and effectively, like, his career was done. And now you got LeBron night in and night out having some of his best games. And again, doing this at 37 years old, you know, last night, for example, 35 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, putting the Lakers in a position where they have a chance to win, but then they get outscored in the third quarter. Third quarter has always been a problem for this team. They come back, though. Again, they outscored Memphis 36-20 in the fourth, putting themselves in a position where they can perhaps win the game, and it's 4-0.
It was ridiculous, though, because when LeBron is chirping with Desmond Bane and basically taking on the Grizzlies in a war of words by himself, no other Laker was there to chirp back or to have his back, and that was so... It was so apparent with the way that the team was playing the whole night. Nobody had LeBron's back. The coolest moment of the game and the moment that made me realize that LeBron still has the it was when not only did he talk smack to Desmond Bane twice, the second time, 30 seconds later, he goes full head of steam down the court like a locomotive and just dunks all over Jaren Jackson Jr. And I'm not saying this to make this a LeBron fest and to praise LeBron so highly. But again, when you have a player that's still capable of basically flipping a switch like that athletically, you have a chance. So I'm not trying to be this optimistic glass half full because they haven't proven it consistently this season. But man, that guy still is amazing me with the way that he can turn on the switch at will. It's ridiculous.
No, and you're exactly right. When you have a player like that, and that's why for years and years and years, whether he was with Cleveland or the Heat, if you had LeBron James, you were going to be competitive, you were going to be a contender, and for whatever it was, seven, 8 years, you were at least going to get to the NBA Finals. With this Lakers team, as poorly as they've played, they are lucky or fortunate, I guess you can say, that the Western Conference is really so bad once you get past the top four teams. Again, the Warriors, the Suns, the Jazz, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Once you get past those four teams, five on down, you're talking about a 500 team. It is not crazy to think that the Lakers could be a 5 or 6 seed, and that's positive for two reasons. Number one, you don't have to be in that play-in tournament. And number two, again, I think, I'm not saying it's a coin flip, but I mean, if they're going up against the Utah Jazz or the Memphis Grizzlies, they're not going to be favored, but I think they got a chance in that series. And there's no Laker fan out there who would say, you know, being a top six seed and losing in the second round is a successful season. But the fact that they're in position to be a playoff team, to perhaps not be in the play-in tournament, that at least gives them a chance to do something worthwhile this season. And the reason they're in the position that they are right now is LeBron James. And it is amazing to me, because I think at the beginning of the season, we're thinking maybe he has hit a wall. And by the way, he's 37 years old. At some point in time, and it's not right now, amazingly, he will hit that wall. I think the unfortunate thing is this amazing run he's having, it's during a season where he's playing for a 500 team that doesn't have a chance to win a championship. And so you're hopeful at some point they turn things around, go on a run. It looked like they had when they won four straight games. And I'm not saying it's, you know, that they don't have a chance, but listen, the Grizzlies are a very good team, and I think it's about time that we give them the respect that they deserve. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we got to get into this Chargers-Raiders game some more. We're going to hear from the some of the coaches and the players in that game. What a crazy game that was. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 and The Fan.
We will be right back with the Arash Markazi Show. And you are listening to a new generation of radio, the all-new and mightier 1090 AM. You're listening to the Arash Markazi Show on a new generation of radio. The all-new and mightier 1090 AM. When we come around.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California and the 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. Big game Sunday night. The Los Angeles Chargers, the Las Vegas Raiders, win or go home. Or you could have tied in one of those weird, weird situations. Both of these teams, the Raiders and the Chargers, could have got in with a tie. It did seem like the Raiders were perhaps content to end in a tie. And then Brandon Staley calls a timeout, and, well, the Raiders went for the win. And it was just one of those dramatic games. I still cannot believe that the Chargers finish out their season losing three or four games. I mean, if they had just beaten Houston, which they were two touchdown favorites again, they would be in the playoffs. But as it is, Justin Herbert will not be going to the playoffs. The Chargers have been eliminated. Their dreams of perhaps playing at SoFi Stadium in the Super Bowl, that is dashed. So let's now listen to some post-game press conference from Raiders coach Rich Pisaccia, Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, and Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert.
Start with this. First of all, I'm really excited and proud of our team and our coaches. And can't tell you how excited we are for Raider Nation and to play in this venue with a crowd like that, looked like a blackout to us, was extremely exciting. And as far as the game goes, we made some plays and we missed some plays. And we had some drives and we gave up some drives. And, you know, we had some touchdowns, they had some touchdowns. It was really just incredible. Really two good quarterbacks out there playing. Unbelievable division game to come down to the end like that. I think we have a team that cares about each other, a team that knows what to do, and a team that competes with relentless effort, down in and down in and down in and down in. And we just find a way to have a chance to win at the end. Put Daniel back out there, and great job by the offense going down there. Defense comes up with a stop, and we have a chance to win the game at the end, and we won it. So with that, I'll take any questions you may have.
Go ahead. Rich, you're a blue-collar lunch pail guy, and that's how your team plays. How much pride do you have in their just refusing to quit?
Yeah, I think the entire coaching staff, all of us, we all have a great deal of pride for our team and the way in which they compete. And I think that's what we try to preach every day. We try to find a way to get a little bit better, try to improve when the day is over. And again, you know, we get ourselves in an overtime game again, and certainly somewhere in there we improved a little bit and found an opportunity to have a chance to win it. And so credit goes to them.
Rich, obviously this was a hectic game, unlike, you know, any other that you all had played this season.
I can't really even hear the question. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead. Okay. Then you put it back up.
obviously this was a hectic game, but do you think, you know, having so many of those games that went down to the wire, all the overtime games, the walk-off finishes, kind of prepared you all to kind of handle this when you were in that moment?
I'd like to think so. You know, we've been in the situation before, right? Derek's been in a two-minute situation before. He's been in four-minute situations before. Our defense has had to come up with stops, you know, towards the end of the game. And so just can't say enough about how this team prepares and going into the game and playing like that. I just know they believe in each other when they go out there. They don't blink. You know, we gave up plays, touchdown at the end, and didn't get the drive we wanted. So they don't blink. They reset. They recover quickly. And then they just come back and the next unit goes back out there, you know.
Hey, Rich, I've got two for you here.
I'm sorry. I know they'll yell at you, but there you go. Then you can ask. Thank you.
Thank you. Two here for you. First of all, at the end of the game, you know all the playoff machinations, right? If you tie. Was there any consideration to just running down the clock there and not even attempting a field goal?
It was conversation. We were talking about it. You know, I don't know if you know, we ran the ball there and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing, you know, and then we had the big run to there. And when we got the big run, it got us, we thought it was advantageous field goal position for us. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it. But we were certainly talking about it on the sideline. We wanted to see if they were going to call a timeout or not on that run. They didn't, so we thought they were thinking the same thing. And then we popped the run in there and gave us a chance to kick the field goal to win it. So we're certainly talking about it.
Lastly, I think everyone, including myself, after that Kansas City game, thought this season was over for you guys. At that point for you, were you thinking down the road or just thinking one game at a time at that point?
Well, I think we've always preached one game at a time, one play at a time, one day at a time. And the Kansas City game, you know, we turned the ball over five times in the game. And so we tried to look at in the game and exactly what did we do poorly, what did we do actually that got us a little bit of improvement somewhere in there, what was our effort level like towards the end of the game being down like that. And we just kind of evaluated it and moved on like we have the other ones. So again, I think we talk about wins. If you stay in the win too long, right, you end up putting yourself in bad position. If you stay in the loss too long, they're both imposters, right? So I think we learned a lot from that game about ourselves, but we've also learned a lot about ourselves in the overtime wins that we've had here lately as well.
Hey, Rich, you got some big plays today from Jalen Richard and Cleveland Farrell. What does it say about those two guys and also your depth in general this year, what you've gotten from guys who aren't necessarily, you know, marquee players?
Well, I think we've all learned throughout the course of what's gone on this year with every team in the National Football League is who's ever dressed on game day has to be prepared to play. And I think we go through practice with the mentality of practice like you're going to play in the game. And if you play in the game, the expectation is you should play well. If you don't dress and play, you ought to be a great teammate on the sideline. And I think that's what you saw from all those guys today.
Coach, when you look at the league this year, is that really competitive?
I'm sorry, I cannot hear that. Apologize.
You're fine. When you look at the league this year, it's really competitive. Like a lot of one-score games, a lot of walk-off finishes. As a coach, like, how do you feel about that? And what does it say about the league that it's like so much parity?
I didn't hear the question. I didn't put my hearing aids in.
A lot of walk-off wins.
Right.
What does it say about the parity in the AFC?
Well, yeah, again, just look at the quarterbacks in our division, right, in our own division. Look at the quarterbacks that we have to go against in Kansas City, what we have to go against over there in what we just played today with the Chargers. So, again, we're preparing for – we'd love to win the game, you know, early and not have to worry about it, but we're just prepared to play to the bitter end and hopefully put ourselves in position to have a chance to win.
One more, Cassie.
Yeah. We know Josh Jacobs wasn't 100% healthy, but what does that say about his character to come out, have the game that he did, and especially to step up in the second half of this one?
Yeah, I think he was probably as healthy as he's been in a little bit of time, and we took care of him during the course of the week in practice. And I think, again, we feel like we've been getting a little bit better each week at running the football. There's a certain trust factor in there between Josh and the offensive line, and a lot of credit to those guys, you know, covering guys up and moving the football for us when we needed to, running the ball.
You got one more, Jim.
Thanks. Okay. Rich, I just want to be clear on this. You said you guys were having discussions about whether or not to go for the tie. At what point would you have decided to just play for the tie and not try a field goal there?
Again, you know, we had conversations about it the whole, you know, towards that end there. But if you remember, we ran the ball early. They didn't call a timeout. So we thought probably they're doing the same thing. So we thought if we can have a run in there that probably possibly could get us in field goal position to win it, we were going to do that, and that's what we did.
So would you have punted if you hadn't got that big run?
I don't know. Didn't happen.
All right, thanks, everyone.
All right, guys, thank you. Hondo, good to see you.
Yeah, we needed to get in the right grouping. We felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
Derek Carr said after the game that that timeout changed their mentality. Do you think that had any reason to do with them?
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there, and we, you know, we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one back run defense in here, and that's what we did.
Was any part of the motivation for you saving time to potentially win it if they were to miss that field goal?
My mindset was to make the field goal as long as possible.
In terms of defensively today, penalties popping up, down defense. You know, some shaky run deals. What's your assessment of the defense overall?
I thought our defense played, you know, really, really well. The penalties obviously were a big factor in the game. The end of the half was a huge momentum swing in the game. The third and 22, we got split on the draw. You know, we've got to go tackle that guy. We got to make a play. And we're in a shell defense that should knock that down. And we didn't knock it down. And then we had him in good position. And then, you know, he throws a foot, you know, pass, you know, really far out of the end zone. And we get called for a PI. And so that dramatically changed the momentum. We had 14 to 10. We were playing really well. We did an outstanding job in the run in the first half. It felt like we put a roof over the coverage, you know, outside of the first third down where we had a corner turn, Foster, Moreau, loose and man-to-man. You know, I thought our guys played their tails off. And then the second half, I really felt like we gave ourselves a chance. I thought we defended really well in there tight. And over time, we, you know, outside of the one run, which two guys missed the tackle at the point of attack that went for 28, you know, we hung tough and forced a field goal. And then, you know, we got it to, you know, a third down and eight, and they completed that outcut on Asante. But, you know, we were contested. That's where the ball had to go, and they made it. And then we just got to do a better job tackling at the point of attack against Josh on a couple of those runs at the end. And, you know, we just didn't finish those plays on that last drive on defense. Other than that, I thought we played really well.
Brandon, Murray hadn't really had that many snaps in the last month. Why did you decide to add the snaps in the most crucial game of the season?
Yeah, we just felt like those three guys were all going to play in the game. We had different roles in them for this game. Drew coming off his injury, you know, we just wanted to make sure that all three of those guys were going to rotate and play in the game, and felt like all three of them played well.
With in the third quarter with your backs against your own end zone, mm-hmm. you decided to go for it on fourth down. What was your thought process?
Yeah, I felt like that was going to be a drive starter for us, you know, generate some steam for our offense. Felt like we would get it. Felt like we had a good play call with the duo run, and they just knifed in there and made a good play. But was really looking to get our offense started, get our engine started, and you know, they just made a play and we didn't.
With the fourth down decisions, you talked a lot about trusting Justin and how he's your best player and not being the decision maker. Why not put the ball in Justin's hands?
I understand the criticism. We felt like we could get the run. We felt like the personnel grouping that they had out there, they weren't in a goal line defense. We felt like we had a plenty good enough, you know, play call for that. And they took away the advantage look, and it just didn't go down for us tonight. But we got a great stop on defense, you know, forced them to kick three, and we, you know, went right back out there and had a chance. You know, it was a one possession game. So, you know, I understand that that decision will be questioned, but in my mindset, that, you know, that's a yard that we can get.
With the roller coaster of a season, starting off so hot, then kind of cooling off, and then trying to kind of pick it up at the end, what's the level of frustration right now, now that you're basically going home and not headed to the playoffs?
I'm disappointed because I feel like we're one of the best teams in the NFL. I feel like this team's good enough to not only be in the tournament, but to win it. I know who's in the tournament, and I felt like we have a good enough team to be in it. And you know, but it was a fight this season. It was a fight. We just couldn't create enough separation, and we had to have this game, and we just couldn't quite finish it out. But this team laid it on the line. Tonight was a great example of the way we played all season, the belief that we have in one another, the belief in this place and how we do things. And we set a big-time foundation for the future. I hate it for this team that we're not in the tournament because I feel like we're good enough. But you know, it didn't go down for us tonight.
At the end of the game, those last two drives, what does that say about, and then in overtime, what does that say about your quarterback, the way he was able to come back and on fourth down just keep on moving the chains? And obviously at the end of the game, last play, he throws that dart to Mike Lynch for that game-tying touchdown.
Yeah, that's why I hate that we're not in the tournament, because he's one of the best players in the NFL. And I hate that he's not in the tournament competing against the best players in the NFL. And I hate it for him. I hate it for Darwin, Keenan. Corey Linsley, a lot of these guys who have given us so much. But this is just the beginning for us. We're going to have a tremendous offseason together. We're going to learn from this, and we're going to grow from this, and we're going to come back in a really, really big way together. But Justin was fantastic tonight. He gave us a chance. And as you guys know, he's really, really special.
Just going back to the linebacker rotation, the role you had for Kenneth was in Don, mostly in third downs. Kaiser's been your best linebacker all season. Why go with Kenneth in those situations on third down, an area you guys have struggled in this season, over Kaiser?
Murray gives us a really good rusher, and he's a really good man-to-man cover guy. And that's what we were going to do in this game, is we're going to play a lot of man-to-man, and he's our best man-to-man coverage guy. And we felt like that would be a role for him in this game that would be, you know, a lift for us. And then we had Kaiser playing like he normally does and everything else. So it was just something that we felt like in dime, because we were planning on playing that grouping a lot, that it would help us if we pressured, which we didn't end up doing. But he's also our best man-to-man coverage guy. You know, we just felt like that was going to be a good role for him tonight, and it had no impact on what happened whatsoever.
Your defense had some encouraging stuff early in the game. Do you feel they kind of got wore out late in the fourth quarter?
No, we were not worn out. Our offense, you know, had possessed the ball pretty much the entire fourth quarter, and you know, we had plenty of juice in overtime, and we missed a couple tackles. We didn't set the edge, and you know, we just didn't finish enough plays there in overtime where we have guys in position, and we just didn't make enough plays tonight, especially on that last drive, but on the opening drive as well, you know, in the run game. We just didn't finish plays tonight in overtime, and that was the story for us on defense.
Brandon, just with the pass protection, a lot of breakdowns there late in the game. It was just a known passing situation, falling behind, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the crowd's loud. They're really good. Yannick and Max are really good. Jefferson, Solomon Thomas, that group of guys is really, you know, it's a really good four-down rush group. And, you know, I felt our guys held their own. They held their own well enough for us to come back from a 15-point deficit. They held their own enough for us to throw our way back into the game. And I'm really proud of that group hanging in there tough.
What was your message to the team?
This is the tough side of things, in that from the beginning of training camp to now, that we've built something really special, and we're building something really special, and the guys in that locker room have made it special, and that they should cherish this season with one another, because it was special, and that we accomplished a lot. We're not in the tournament, which is disappointing, but there was far more that we accomplished together than not, and I feel like for the future of our team, for the future of our program in this city, I feel like there's an awful lot to take away from it that we can build on for the future, and a lot of it has to do with the players in that locker room, and I'm really thankful for all of them. And like I said, I just hate it that this was our last time out.
Yeah, you know, I thought we executed well on fourth down, and especially those two drives, but it wasn't enough, and that's the unfortunate part of we were too far behind, and offensively we didn't get enough going in the first half, you know, and so it's on off, and it's obviously very tough.
The touchdown to Mike, the tie, he's bracketed on the play. Did you know you were going to go there with the football, or had that sort of unfold?
That's one of those plays that we kind of talked about, you know, all week of this is what we're going to try and get, hopefully, and that's the coverage we ended up getting. Mike ran a great route, came back to me, and you know, kind of defeated the leverage of the cornerback on that one. So he ran a really good route on that one.
And the touchdown to Josh from 23 yards out on 4th and 21. What'd you see on that?
Yeah, you know, held my eyes to the left, and Josh went up and made a big time play, and you know, he's the second read in the progression, and you know, I'm really thankful that he was there, and he ran a really crisp route, and made a big play on it.
With the roller coaster of a season starting off so hot and then kind of cooling off and then trying to catch your breath at the end of this to make the playoffs, how frustrating is it tonight after a loss and not being able to make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, the whole goal is to get to the playoffs and to, you know, eventually win a Super Bowl, and it didn't go our way tonight, and that's the unfortunate part, and I'm really proud of the way that everyone's battled this year, and we never gave up, and, you know, it's an honor to be a part of this team and to be a part of that locker room, because everyone cares a lot, and they left everything out there on the field tonight, and it didn't go our way, and we gave it our best effort, and that's the tough part.
What did they do to slow you guys down early?
You know, we just didn't execute. We got behind the chains. We had some penalties, a couple turnovers, and you can't expect to win football games like that.
Justin, what were you thinking on the sideline? Was the Raiders were driving, and it's a tie game. Have you ever been rooting for a tie before?
I'd never been rooting for a tie more in my life. Yeah. And, you know, that's the unfortunate part of being so close. And, You know, they beat us today, and we didn't execute as well as we could have. And, you know, that's the tough part. But it's all about how we respond to this, and going to have an important offseason for us, and have to bounce back.
The 4th-and-1 that you guys got stopped on the Austin handoff, just the play call, were you happy with that? And the look that you guys got, obviously didn't get the result, but Brandon was saying that, you know, he really liked the decision to play call there.
Yeah, we believe in those guys up front, and it's tough when you don't convert, and you know, whenever you give the ball off to Austin Eckler, good things normally happen, and it's unfortunate we got stopped there, but you know, I'd do it over again just like that, and I'd give the ball to Eck, and I'd let him go make something happen, and you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and we could always look back and say, you know, we could have ran something else, but we're gonna stick with those guys up front because they've battled all year long, and we believe in those guys.
The protection, it seemed like you were under a bit of duress, especially, you know, late in the game. Just how difficult was it there, back there to operate with all the pressure?
You know, they've got some really good edge rushers, and that's the tough part. And, you know, I thought our guys up front battled, and I had plenty of time to get the ball off. And, you know, they might have got back there a couple times to get some pressure, but, you know, we made plays, and you know, just hats to them for those edge rushers.
64 passes, most of this season. How's your shoulder feel? How your arm feel?
It feels good.
All right. That was a crazy game. Chargers-Raiders. Chargers season comes to a close. The Raiders advance to the postseason. Listen, there's no two ways about it. It's okay to be aggressive. It's okay to want to go for it on fourth down. But it's clear that Brandon Staley, to whatever extent he's comfortable doing so, has to change his ways. You cannot put yourself in a position to not even make it to the playoffs when you have one of the most talented teams in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You don't need to be that aggressive. You don't need to go for 4th-and-5, you know, back at your side of the field. And you don't need to call a timeout late in a game when the opposing team is gift wrapping a playoff berth. It makes no sense. So hopefully Brandon Staley learns from that and improves. He is a good young coach, and I know he's going to get a lot of grief right now, but this is a learning moment for him and the team. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
The Arash Markazi Show on a new generation of radio. The all-new and mightier 1090 AM.
So many hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on a blind to a broken man's dream.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.